I want you to think for just a moment about the greatest gift that you ever received. Maybe it was a Christmas present that somebody gave you. Maybe it was something that you really, really wanted, but maybe you didn't think that you were going to have an opportunity to get. Or maybe it was just something that was just a pure surprise. You had no idea. I know just a couple of months ago at Pastor Appreciation, that was a great, great gift, and it took Jana and I completely by surprise. But as we enter into the Christmas season, you know, Christmas just coming up, you know, here in a day or two, and you know, this is a time when we give gifts. Now, yeah, most of the time that was based on the fact that the Magi gave gifts when they came to the Christ child. They presented gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So we call this the season of giving. So I want you to consider just a moment the greatest gift that you ever had, because today we're actually going to look at what the true greatest gift ever given was. Grab that Bible, come on back in just a moment. We're going to be looking at passages that come out of Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. See you in a minute. Folks, welcome to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. I'll call this the Christmas edition. I mentioned just a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of Luke's Gospel and chapter 2. You see, Christmas, it's a time of joy. It is a time of celebration. It's a time of reflecting, you know, on the greatest gift ever given to humanity, and that is our wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, it's a time to remember the birth of our Savior and to understand the impact of His coming and what that impact was not only upon the world but upon each and every one of us. So today we're going to dive into the scriptures to explore the significance of this miraculous event. You know, we ended up our season of Bible studies on the miracles, and I said, you know, one of the greatest ones was the resurrection. Well, there would never be a resurrection unless there was, first of all, a birth. So at Christmas time, the true meaning of the season is to celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ, okay? Now, our primary text for today is actually found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. We're going to be looking at verses 8 through 14, and they read as follows. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you today, again, we ask that you would open our hearts and open our minds. Father, we pray that you will keep us from being distracted about what the Holy Spirit wants us to learn through your word today. Father, I know that through this Christmas season, like always, we wind up being in the push and the shove of the activities and the events that are taking place. But Lord, help us to always remember the true reason that we celebrate the Christmas season, and that is the birth of your only begotten Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So Father, today I pray that you will open our hearts and minds that we might receive the word the Holy Spirit has for us today. Lord, I pray that as your messenger for these next few moments, that you would use me, that you would be high and lifted up, and that for your honor and glory, these words would go forth into the ears of every listener. Father, as always, we pray, if there's one that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, that today truly would be the day that they would give their heart and life to you and truly experience what life is all about here on earth, but Lord, also what eternity is all about, as someday we will look you eye to eye, face to face. So bless our time today, Father, as only you can, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, so it's like always, we got to know a little bit about the context. We've got to know a little bit about you know, what our passage or the content of the time of our passage. So the passage that we're reading today, it's set out in an humble field of Bethlehem where shepherds were out there tending their flock. Now, we have to understand the cultural significance of the shepherds back in that day. You know, shepherds were often considered the lowly. As a matter of fact, you know, being a shepherd was not something that you aspired for your children to do. You know, so they were considered lowly. They were often marginalized. They were often kept at arm's length. But yet they were chosen by God to receive the very first announcement of the birth of Jesus. Now, I believe with all of my heart that this choice was a significant choice made by God Almighty Himself, because it tells each and every one of us something. The choice of making this announcement to the shepherds signifies God's inclusive love and the breaking down of these societal barriers. Yeah, I have said this so many times, and I know it's been said throughout churches across the world. Jesus Christ is for everyone. He's not for the richest of rich, or not just for the riches of richest of the rich. He's not just for the poorest of the poor. He is for everyone. It doesn't matter what your social or your economic status is. We like to say it around Central Baptist like this: the ground around the cross is always level. So whatever it is that is taking place in your heart and in your life, let me tell you that Jesus is for you. This was a very significant choice, you know, given the societal barriers of the day and how people viewed the shepherds. Okay, so that the angel's message to the shepherds was, it was one of joy. It was one of hope. It was a situation where, as you imagine these shepherds, night had fallen. It's a time when they have to be on high alert. You know, for some of them, it was probably another day of sitting back saying, you know what, I should have gone to college, or I should have done something else. Or they may have been thinking about the heartaches, the heartbreaks. It was just a time of reflection. And yet, here comes this announcement bringing joy and bringing hope. It was the heralding of the arrival of the long-awaited Messiah. You know, they had heard it from essentially the prophets of the days of old. This had been the waited on Messiah. And it's so ironic that even as Jesus, walked the earth, even years later, remember, you know, his life was about 33 years long. But yet we read that after he began his ministry, it says that he went to his own, meaning, the Jews. He went to his own, and his own received him not. Think about that. The long-awaited Messiah. I have said this many times, even in the last couple of weeks, that it seems that there was a lot of people that had head knowledge. You know, there were a lot of the Pharisees who knew what the Word of God said. They had it in their head, but it hadn't trickled down to their heart to the point where they understood it. They never went to try. They never went to check it out. I think I mentioned even last week that it was one of those situations of Herod going to his quote-unquote wise men and asking because the Magi had come to the palace searching the newborn king. And even Herod's wise men gave him the correct answer. They said, yeah, Jesus is going to be born in Bethlehem. That was 6 miles down the road. Nobody ever bothered to check on it to see if it was true or anything to that nature. They just kept on with their legalistic ways and following of the rule ways. But Jesus came to set each and every one of us free from those particular things. So all of a sudden, here's an announcement. The long-awaited Messiah has been born. And it wasn't announced first to those in the palace. It was announced first to those who were the shepherds that were out there in the fields. You see, the angel's proclamation to the shepherds is significant in several ways. First, it emphasizes the nature of Jesus' birth as, what does the word tell us? Good tidings of great joy for all people. Not some people, for all people. And all means all, and that's all that all means. If you're around Central Baptist Church, you'll understand my statement about that. So the bottom line is this: it wasn't just for some people. The birth of Jesus was to bring good tidings of great joy for all people. You see, the birth of Jesus is not just a historical event. It is recorded throughout the scriptures. It is recorded throughout history. And sometimes people will sit back and say, well, how do you know that this is real? Well, it's been recorded in history. The birth of Jesus is it not only is a historical event, but it is the fulfillment of God's promise to send a Savior that had been, you know, awaited for a long, long time. The prophets in the days of the Old Testament books, as we know it, had prophesied that there would be a coming Savior, a coming Messiah. And we're getting to the point in the Word where He has arrived. And see, the angel identifies Jesus as Christ the Lord. Now, this was an affirmation of His divine nature and His role as the anointed one who would bring salvation to all humanity. You know, this essentially was the event that humanity had waited for many, many, many years, and all of a sudden it had arrived. I think that too often we can get so busy that we forget to look for the things that we really need to look for. I think that there were people who were too busy back in that day being spiritual. They were too busy being spiritual to actually see the Messiah that was right there in their presence. And you know what? As crazy as that may sound, we can do the same thing in our day and age. We can be too busy being Christian that we are not Christian. We can be too busy going through the acts and the motions. And we can even be doing great things, but we could be doing them for all of the wrong reasons, okay? So think about this. You know, as Jesus arrived, you know, He was called the one who would be the anointed one that would bring salvation to all humanity. Now, the sign given to the shepherds was simply this, as we read in our text. It would be a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. So there's a lot of significance to that as well. This highlights the humility and the simplicity of Jesus' entrance into the world. You know, often, you know, people have asked me over the years of my ministry, they said, well, why wasn't Jesus born in, you know, some nice hotel, as it were? Or why wasn't He born at a medical place? Or why wasn't, you know, He born at the palace or someplace to, like that? You see, if that was the case, then there would be people who would feel like Jesus was untouchable. They would feel like He was unreachable. One of the greatest acts that God performed in the arrival of Jesus was making sure that He was letting everybody know that Jesus is available to each and every person, not just a segment of society, not just the rich and famous, not just those who have status or position. Jesus is available to every living, breathing soul on the face of this planet, past, present, and future, okay? So we see that this humanity is highlighted. Now, let's go back to the statement for a moment. A baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, okay? We're going to get back to that in just a second, but the birth of Jesus is a very pivotal moment in salvation history. See, it marks the incarnation of God in human form. Now, let me explain that for just a minute, because oftentimes we can be so churchy or spiritual that we leave words on the table that a lot of people don't understand. So I said a moment ago, it marks the incarnation of God in human form. You know, maybe in a song you've heard where it talks about, well, God made man. That is what the incarnation simply is. It is God's manifestation in human form. That is what they call the incarnation. Maybe you've heard the statement, God made man, okay? God made into man. Now, I want to also be very careful right here for us to realize that, you know, Jesus is God, but yet he was 100% human, but He was also 100% divine. He never lost His divine nature, you know, when He was born onto this earth. When Jesus lived His life some 33 years on the planet Earth, He did so sinless. And that is a mark that nobody else can ever match. Now, why do I say that? Remember, you know, we were talking about the days of the Old Testament. When we're talking about days of the Old Testament, there were sacrifices that were required for the remission of sin. But it wasn't a permanent thing. If an animal was sacrificed, you know, at the temple, it would cover a certain segment of sins. But Jesus was proclaiming to all people that He would be the perfect once for one and all sacrifice. You know, for him to give his life the ransom for each and every one of us, that means that what is given has to actually be worth more than what is purchased in this case. And it was. He gave up his perfect sinless life. It went to Calvary's cross with every sin of the world, past, present, and future, so that you and I might have eternal life. Now, I still remember when I was in Bible college and was young, I wrote a tract one time, and I thought I had really done a good job on it. I've shared this before, with our Wednesday Bible study as well as my church, and I got an F on that thing, and I was shocked. I was like, why did I fail this? I thought it was a really good job. The professor's comments in the back were, you did a great job talking about the crucifixion, but the problem is you didn't talk anything about the resurrection. And without the resurrection, you know, there is no salvation. And that stuck with me. Here I am 40 years later remembering that, because we were talking about this pivotal mark in history, and the fact that Jesus, through the resurrection, conquered sin, death, and hell for each and every one of us. So the birth of Christ marks that incarnation of God in human form, and it's a mystery that underscores God's love and desire to dwell among his people. See, in Jesus, we see the perfect union of divinity and humanity. You see, his birth is a testament to God's faithfulness in fulfilling his promises and his commitment to redeeming his creation. Remember, back in the day, Adam and Eve messed all that up, but there is a redemption process, and this is what it is, okay? There was an angelic announcement. The angelic announcement of peace, goodwill toward men, points to the reconciliation and the peace that Jesus brings between God as well as humanity. It is through Jesus that we can be reconciled to God. So when we sit back and we think about this particular event, and as we think about Christmas, and as we think about what we're going to do to celebrate Christmas, I know that there are a lot of traditions that happen. There are a lot of things that take place. Maybe if you're like a lot of folks, you may do Christmas in your house on Christmas morning, and you may have that opportunity to spend time with family and friends, or some of you make the circuit. If you're young, you usually wind up making the circuit, going to different parents, different family members' homes. But as we celebrate Christmas, not only this year, but every year, let us remember that the message of the angel that we read about in our text in Luke 2 today is still extremely relevant to you and I. Jesus' birth invites us to experience the joy and the peace that comes from knowing him as our Savior. See, we are called to share this good news with others, just as the shepherds did. I've often said that the shepherds were the first ever missionaries, because after that angelic announcement to the shepherds, what did they do? Did they sit around and say, well, that was pretty cool? No, they didn't just sit around and say that was pretty cool. They said, hey, look, let's get up and let's go find him. Let's go find the Christ child. Let's make a journey, and get into his presence. And I love to say it that way, folks, because you know what the Lord wants more than anything? He wants us to be in his presence, not only by way of salvation, but by way of prayer, by way of Bible study. Be in the presence of the Master. So when the shepherds heard this announcement, they didn't just sit around in the field. They did something about it. They got up and they went. They went to see where the young child lay. And Christmas is a time to reflect on the humility of Christ and to emulate his love and compassion in our interaction with others. Now, I've said before that for some odd reason, our society has just gotten nasty. We've nastied it up. I saw it extremely at an extreme level after the pandemic, but it doesn't seem to be letting up. You know, we're just mean and nasty towards one another as a society today. And we need to stop that. We need to live our lives with love and compassion. And we need to interact with other people. And let us be mindful of those who are marginalized. And let us extend the love of Christ to them. And you know what? We often do that. Christmas is a time when we think about that. Christmas is the time when we generally are more giving. Christmas is a time when we generally are more compassionate to those that are less fortunate than us. There are things that we do. We will reach out. Maybe we will help a needy family. Maybe we will work at a food bank, or maybe we'll go down and help out at the soup kitchen. But folks, let me issue you a challenge today. Don't just do that at Christmas. What about January? January is coming. It is right around the corner. Let's make sure that this is a mark of our lifestyle, that this is what we do to live out who Christ is within us, that other people may see Him. It's not just a Christmas thing. Christmas just reminds us of those things. So may we to be reminded of what we should be in Christ, not only at Christmas time, but each and every day of our lives. May we reach out to those who are marginalized. May we reach out to those who are social outcasts. But in the same vein, may we reach out to those who are privileged. May we reach out to those who have everything. You know, people have said before, well, what is our target audience at Central Baptist Church? And there's a comment that I heard my dad say years and years ago that's always stuck with me. And when somebody asks us, what is your target audience at Central Baptist Church? I say, well, our target audience is 8 to 80, blind, crippled, and half crazy. Actually, it's from the cradle to the grave. We want to reach everyone with the love of Christ. It doesn't matter what your social status is. It doesn't matter what your economic status is. The Lord called us to love human beings, plain and simple. He called us to love those that were marginalized, and He gives us examples of that throughout His Word. When we went through the series on the miracles, the word that I kept repeating every single week in Bible study was this: compassion, compassion, compassion. Let me ask you where your compassion stands today. You know, are you a compassionate person when it comes to how you love other people? Are you a compassionate person that reflects the love of Christ not only in you, but through you to those that are around you? You know, I think sometimes what happens is we get to Christmas and we have a real gut check, because we find out we purpose to visit it in our lives, and we sit back and say, you know, we're really not what we ought to be. And then for some odd reason, we try to make up for lost time by helping out in the soup kitchens and doing these things. Folks, you cannot repay God, and God doesn't expect you to repay Him. What He expects you to do is be His child and walk in His ways each and every day of your life. You see, what happens is it's not something we do, it's somebody we become. It is a lifestyle. Walking with Christ and being a Christian is a lifestyle, not just a thing that we do. So as we head into this Christmas, in the busyness of the Christmas season, let's not lose sight of the true reason for why we celebrate Christmas. You see, the birth of Jesus is a reminder of God's incredible love for each and every one of us, and His desire to be in a relationship with us. That's what He wants. He wants a relationship. You know, not just he's not just looking for a worker, He's wanting a relationship, okay? May we carry the message of Christmas in our hearts, not only at Christmas time, but throughout the year, living in the joy and the peace that only Christ can provide for each and every one of us. So that's my challenge for you in this Christmas season. You know, as you get together, as you eat a lot of good food, as you spend time with family members that maybe you haven't even seen since last Christmas when you gathered together, I just pray that you will do so in a sense of peace, understanding why we celebrate the season and making sure. I've told people before, I said, I'm not against gift giving. I'm not against Santa Claus or any of those things, as long as we keep the true perspective of the season in order. You know, we need to teach that to our children as well. You know, Santa Claus is a cool guy, but Jesus is even cooler. And you know what? That's what our children, that's what our families need to hear. As you gather together today, may you reflect the love and the compassion and the heart of our Heavenly Father. And may the Lord give you the words that you need to be His messenger in your family. Yeah, I like that old song, "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?" And as I think about that, I think about families. I think about the fact of what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. I hope and pray for you that it is a family reunion. Not all of you watching this can say that. You know that there are some family members who aren't saved. There are family members that do not know Jesus. I want to challenge you that this Christmas and over this holiday season, as you are gathering together, that you allow the Lord to use you as the messenger of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. You know what? People sit back and say, well, you know what? They're going to get mad at me. Well, you know what? I'd rather them get mad at me here on earth than to be standing before the Heavenly Father and them look at me and say, why didn't you tell me about Jesus? You know, I'm not going to be in heaven. I'm being judged. I'm being sent to hell. But you knew the key. You knew the secret, but you wouldn't tell me because you were afraid I would get angry with you. Folks, I pray that the heavenly circle of your family will not be broken and that we will see each other in the kingdom of heaven, each and every one. May the Lord use you this Christmas to bring that about in your family, to model love, peace, humility, compassion, and all the other qualities that God has modeled to us through His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then I'll give you what we're going to be looking at for next week as we start to head into a new year. Let's pray together. And Father, as we come to you, we want to thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate this Christmas. Lord, help us to embrace the joy and the peace that he brings. And Lord, help us to share that good news with others. May we live in a way that reflects his love and humility. You know, we pray for those, Lord, who are hurting. Lord, we pray for those who are marginalized, that they may find comfort and hope in you. Lord, I know they look for comfort and hope. They look in so many places, but I pray they will find that comfort and hope that can only come through you. And Lord, we do ask this prayer in the precious name of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Hey, folks, thank you for taking this time to join us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. I pray that you have a Merry Christmas and a very Happy New Year. Next week, as we head into, we're ending out the year and we'll be heading in to a new year. I want you to spend a little bit of time over in the book of Jeremiah chapter 29. That's Jeremiah chapter 29. And next week, what we're going to do is we're going to specifically deal with verse 1, and that is living with purpose and hope. You know, we're going to be ending a year. We're going to be starting a new year. It's that fresh kind of do-over. It's a fresh start. So what is that going to look like? Living with purpose and hope. That will be our text as we gather together next week for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. You know, I hope and trust and pray that God gives you a great week. I pray that he gives you safe travels if you happen to be traveling. And I just pray that God gives you a very Merry Christmas. And always remembering that Jesus is the reason for the season. God bless. Have a great week.